I hope that listeners were maybe as surprised as I was when I had been reporting on the creative approaches to evidence gathering that were used by law enforcement in this case.
I was approaching the content from a different angle and revisiting it, and it was just as full on.
I was inspired by writers like Vivian Gornick, Maggie Nelson. The writing becomes a process of discovery.
Welcome to This is the Author, where authors talk about narrating their audiobooks.
In this episode, meet journalist Sean Patrick Cooper, writer Dominic Gordon, and writer Suzanne Scanlon. Hear what inspired these authors to write their books and what most surprised them about recording their audiobooks. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Sean Patrick Cooper, author of The Shooter at Midnight, Murder, Corruption, and a Farming Town Divided. I was inspired to write the book because there were too many questions I still had unanswered when I first began to report this as a magazine piece. I don't know if I got any definitive answer, but hopefully I gave the reader enough questions that they could answer it themselves.
If you had to describe what it was like to record your audiobook in one word, that word would be...
revealing, in the sense that I had read the book to myself often in small pieces when I was writing it, but never at length, and reading it out loud revealed new patterns to sentences, to word choices, not in a good or bad way, but just gave me more information about the text that I didn't have before, so it was very interesting. I realized I had trouble pronouncing a couple of words when in the mode of reading an audiobook. One of them that kept cropping up, though, was impediment, which did not come out as impediment in the text when I was reading it. I don't know if I had a favorite section to record, but there is this long, great literature on the malleability of the justice system, and I hope that listeners were maybe as surprised as I was when I had been reporting on the creative approaches to evidence gathering that were used by law enforcement in this case. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I would probably cast Daniel Day-Lewis, because he seems able to do anything on the screen at least. And if I could pick a narrator that's not living, I'd probably pick Philip Seymour Hoffman because, well, he's pretty great too. The last great audiobook I listened to was actually Michael Lewis read Liar's Poker, his first book that he wrote. It was the anniversary of its publication. You can just kind of hear his exuberance, I think, as a reporter and writer, figuring out how to tell this big story in which he was at the center of, about this cast of characters on Wall Street at a bank he worked at. And it's one of those audiobooks where the energy of the author is there in the narration in a really terrific way. If I'm listening to audiobooks, it's typically while I'm driving. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook.
There was no good reason for Bob Ramsey, a veteran St. Louis defense attorney, to take on Mark Woodworth as a client. At first glance, Woodworth couldn't appear more guilty. He'd already been convicted not once but twice of the same murder, once in 1995 and then again in 1999 after a retrial, when the judge, throwing the book at him, had sent Woodworth back to Missouri State Prison with four life sentences. The evidence against Mark looked damning.
Hi, this is Dominic Gordon, author of Excitable Boy. It started off not as a book at all, but as kind of like a personal therapy session with myself at a library when I didn't have a job. I would just go there during the day to the library and just write down weird stuff in my head. And then over time, I realized that there was like a narrative to the stuff that was pouring out of me. And then over time, further along the track, I just realized that I could kind of fashion that experience into an actual story. So it was almost, there was a time when my real life was mirroring what I was writing, and I had to sort of then step away from it to get an objective nonfiction look at my own life. I wanted to not write it as a writer, but write it just as a person who was struggling with stuff. And then eventually I realized that I could turn it into something literary, I guess. So that's kind of why I wrote it, to figure some shit out, short version. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook, I guess I would say that it was a full-on experience full on, because I was approaching the content from a different angle and revisiting it, and it was just as full on, or maybe more so, because I'd like had a separation from the behaviors and the content of the book, and now I was circling back around to it at a sort of a different phase of my life, and going back into it in this way was, yeah, it was quite a full-on experience. I had trouble pronouncing a few words, actually. Antenna, like for insect antenna. I kept saying antenna, it should be antennae with an E. So yeah, I had trouble pronouncing that. Something I'm excited for listeners to hear. I guess I like it when I get to have some run-on sentences and sort of bang words together in my own sort of way of speaking. Whenever there's a certain rhythm that kind of I get into, maybe in an archaeological find, like in the sex cinema when I'm with the other guy and we start talking nonsense. Yeah, whenever there's like nonsense play, I like that, when I can kind of get into that nonsensical frame of mind. And I've been allowed to put that nonsensical frame of mind into words on the page, of which there's probably a lot of that in there. My favourite section to record, the shortest one, so probably the lockdown diaries was the shortest. Actually, no, I lie. I liked running because it had like a nice ending and I could sort of end it whilst ending the recording as well, double ending. In preparing to record, I was really, really anxious and just had to do breathing exercises in the car before coming in, like dry reached heaps of times in the bathroom and then came and sat down, and then away we went. It got easier as the minutes wore on. If I had to record again, I would bring in like a little backpack. It's called a camelback, which has got like a tube attached from the water that's in the backpack near my mouth, so I could just grab it and have a suck of water whenever I wanted to. So I'd have to keep pouring a glass, because I realise I drink more than my body weight in water. Oh yeah, this is good. So my dream narrator, living or dead, I had a problem with this because I was like, Australians who I really respect who are alive and my age, I struggled with that a little bit. But then it came to my head that I have a friend who does voice acting and is a local actor, Pat Dare. He's got an open Instagram, you can find him, and you can see him doing, he pretends to be like a job search coach, like interviewing like an unemployed person, and he impersonates multiple people in his videos. They're quite funny. So yeah, him, my friend, I would get him to do it. The last audiobook I listened to was This River by James Brown. It's the sequel to his, I guess, cult kind of classic, The LA Diaries, which goes into his addictions, his losses of family, his horrible circumstances that he'd had to deal with. And this one is like the coming out of that experience. So he's reconnected with his children and he's managing his addictions and his behaviours and I'm trying to live a healthier life. And I sort of really related to that book. So yeah, I'm listening to that. My favourite place to listen to an audiobook, I like on public transport, on the tram into the city and back is a good time. Or the bus to the country, if I go down to my parents' house in the country, I like it's a good 2 or 3 hours there. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook.
The Adelphi is a 5-star boutique, chrome, minimalist hotel in the heart of the CBD. It has a saltwater pool on the roof. You can see a slice of the rich blue water, David Hockney painting, brown skin lounging, urban paradise jutting out from the street. I've snuck into many hotel pools in the CBD, but never the Adelphi. It's the jewel in the crown. It looks a bit complicated to get in, so I stand across the street from it and just watch for a while as people flow past me.
Hi, this is Suzanne Scanlon, author of Committed, On Meaning and Mad Women. I wrote my book because I wanted to solve a problem of some kind, and I continue to return to this early part of my life. And at times, as I get older, I think I understand it, and then that shifts. So at this point in my life, with such distance from the time, and as a mother and as a teacher and a middle-aged woman, I feel like I have new insight into the experience. And so I was very interested in sort of writing into that question, that problem, that doubt. So the return for me was really this exploration. I was inspired by writers like Vivian Gornick, Maggie Nelson, these writers who start with this problem and take this journey and seem to be surprised almost, or the writing becomes a process of discovery. And that's really what inspired me. I set out to do one thing, and then I found myself discovering quite a lot while writing this, which took me in new directions. And that was really fun. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, that word would be wild. And I say that because there were times I read the book, certainly from the beginning, where I felt pretty distant. My, you know, theater kid self kicked in, and I felt like I was just reading lines and I could have this distance. And then at times, surprisingly, I would be just overwhelmed by a moment or a scene, and I would feel as if I was going to cry, or I would feel like my voice was going to crack. And somehow I hadn't anticipated that, though I knew this book was very intense in some moments. I thought I could keep this sort of distance. And then at other times, you know, I was quite surprised by what I wrote because it had been some time since I wrote it. And then there were things that, you know, I really liked about it. I thought there would be more places where I wanted to make changes, because every time I read this, the hundreds of times I read it while revising, I would want to make edits. So I thought that would happen maybe more often than it did. Something about reading it and having the distance allowed me to be like, oh, I really like that, or that's really fun. I realized I didn't know how to pronounce a number of French words, a Turkish name, knife, imbecile. I have a horrible French accent, so I couldn't do that. But I love how that word, that phrase, looks on the page and looks at the end of the paragraph where I wrote it. But I never thought about having to say it out loud. So that was interesting. I'm excited that listeners will hear the sections about my mom, because I feel like I was able to push myself toward this place where I really connected with her in a sort of spiritual sense. And for me, it wasn't that I know her very well, because it's been decades since she's been alive, and I was quite young when she died. But I feel like I was reaching towards some connection with her, and that at times I sort of achieved this merging, bringing her alive through me. My favorite section to record was the dialogue, because I just love writing dialogue and I love scenes. And so in that way, I felt like some of it was fun or funny. So I liked being able to kind of perform these different characters. I prepared for the audiobook recording by drinking tea, honey, having lemon tea, I suppose, but also by listening briefly, at least on the first day, to some of my favorite writers of memoir, writers who write their autobiography. I listened to a little bit of Roxane Gay reading her memoir. I listened to a little bit of Maggie Nelson. These are writers I love because they seem to go so far on the page and to be quite vulnerable. So listening to them, I felt very inspired by their confidence and elegance as they read this very autobiographical and somewhat taboo material. If I had to record again, I don't think I would do much differently. I would bring lemons, maybe lemon water, just because I lost my voice more than I expected I would. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I would cast Catherine Hahn, because, well, we're about the same age, I think, and she is from the Midwest, and I've loved her acting in Chris Krause's I Love Dick and Transparent, and I feel like she's super smart, but she has this edge, and she also doesn't take herself so seriously. So yeah, I would love to hear her read my book. The last audiobook that I listened to that I loved was Patricia Lockwood reading Priest Daddy. A friend of mine told me that I had to listen to that book because she was so funny and she does all of these voices. She does her father's voice, and it's quite a wild story she has, quite enhanced by hearing her read it. My favorite place to listen to audiobooks is while taking walks. I do listen sometimes on my commute or road trips, but I find that I miss a lot. But if I'm taking a walk, I can really be both in the place because I'm grounded in walking, but also be quite attuned to the writer's voice. And they're very connected for me. I absolutely remember where I was walking when I listened to Patricia Lockwood. So it's interesting to me, that listening and walking. And now listen to a clip from my audiobook. The word madness is literary, philosophical, capacious. We know it can be romantic in literature and wretched in life. Madness was Shakespeare's word in the 16th century and Robert Burton's in the 17th. For Shakespeare, madness was one with excess. Lovers and madmen both have access to a truth only allowed by unreason. Their seething brains, their shaping fantasies.
This is the Author is a production of Penguin Random House Audio. Thank you for listening.
For more behind-the-mic content and audiobook recommendations, visit www.penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/nextlisten.